12 years, I told him he'd keep his bottle, his problems, and I took the children and left. In the meantime, my mother and father had moved to California, or had come back to California. And I just came back to them. And that's when I went to work when the war started.
Now, was his drinking ever disruptive at home?
Not too much at home. Only on weekends, once in a while. He was never abusive, nothing like that. Christmas, he always spoiled. Holidays were always spoiled because of his drinking. And my family had not been, I had not been raised around liquor. I had learned to drink a beer, a mixed drink, after I was married. He insisted I learn to smoke so I wouldn't embarrass him in front of his friends. And to me, that it was still a ridiculous idea, but to keep peace, I did. And this last Christmas that I was back there, and he came home Christmas Eve, stoned again, I said, that's it. That's it. In the meantime, I had gone to work. The war had started, and I had gone to work at the Willow Run plant. And I worked from 11th, was the day I started work, until the 1st of September the next year.
And was that in
41, 42? 40, I went to work in 40.
After Pearl Harbor?
Yeah. 42, I went to work. And I worked until 1st of September in 43. And then I just packed up and left. I had told him at Christmas that I was leaving. I had it. And he didn't believe me, and I had gone to work at the Willow Run plant. I just saved my checks from then on, and we said before time for school to start, I brought the kids out here.
Did you go to work with that in mind?
No. I went to work because I took my youngest daughter to school and started her in school, and there again, I could not face an empty house. I was so lonesome. I'd always had somebody there. And my girlfriend and I, we took our two kids to school and started them in school that day, and she said, what are we going to do with the house so empty? And I said, let's go get a job. So that was when we went out, hired on in the farm and picked apples.
What was that like?
Well, it started out fun. Trees were beautiful, full of apples, just hanging with apples. But the draft board had taken all the young people away, and all the men in town, this was a very small town in Michigan, and all the men, able-bodied men, had gone in factories and were working. And here was this orchard with all these apples just hanging there and going to waste if they didn't get somebody to pick them. So we went over, and this old farmer had nobody to help but Natalie and I. And we would go out in the morning and cold. Well, September wasn't so cold. October got cold. And up until that time, I thought I was pretty strong, but by the time I had picked apples for a week or two, and I would come down and empty a bag of apples in a bushel crate and almost fill the crate. I knew what strong was. And we picked apples from the first week of September through October, almost 2 months. And then he said he had a field of potatoes down there that had to be dug too. So we went down and I had never dug a potato in my life. He handed us a pitchfork and began to dig them out, turn the hill over. He had more potatoes than pitchfork times than he had good potatoes, I can tell you. And after I had finished digging his potatoes for him, that's when I went to work at Willow Run.
How did you go about getting a job at Willow Run?
Very simple. You just went down and told him you wanted a job. As long as you were walking and able, physical was very, very lax. I had very low blood pressure at that time, and I said, I told my, I was dead, I might as well go stand in the corner somewhere. My blood pressure was so low. But they put you right to work. I went to work the next day.
Without any kind of training?
No training whatsoever. I got it on the floor. They took me right out on the floor amongst the machinery and showed me what they wanted done, and that was it.
What kind of a job did you have then?
I was selling parts for the cowling, motor cowling.
Was that the job that you kept the whole time you were there?
Oh, I learned to do many of, I only worked there like just a year, then I quit that and came to California and went to work for Douglas. But I learned to make many parts of the cowling while I worked there. Without ever, just the last week before I left, my boss put me down to show me the airplane I worked on. I had never seen a completed plane.
How did you know that there were jobs available?
Oh, they advertised radio, everything. They were always advertising, paper and radio. They wanted people badly. Every plant wanted people badly. And it was funny because my husband had decided he could make more money down there too. He had gone down the year before, and he had to go to school. They were training what men came in the factory were sent in as, you know, to be trained as supervisors work. So he had trouble with his math. He didn't, like I said, he had quit school 8th grade. He wasn't very good at math at all, and I had given him a crash course in fractions and decimals and the things he would need if he were going to supervise anybody. He had to have to know those things, which he didn't. And his boss at the garage decided he couldn't run the garage without him. So after he had worked at the factory for Willow Run for about 3-4 months, it wasn't very long, he offered him more money, and he quit and went back to the garage. He didn't like factory work at all. But I did. I always enjoyed working with my hands, working with tools, which my father had been very, very good about. He had taught me to use tools. I was the only one of the kids that would ever put them back and lock the toolbox back up. My brothers would get them out and scatter them. I would pick them up and put them away. So my father, he had taught me to use his tools. And I took to work in the factory like a duck of water. We were busy. It kept us busy, but it wasn't heavy work. It wasn't burdensome. You know, we didn't have to carry a lot of stuff, a lot of heavy stuff or anything like that. And I enjoyed building things with my hands.
Have you done much building before that?
No. No, but I knew how to repair light cords and iron cords and make my own extension cords and things like that. I was very handy at that. Did I hear the door? What?
The mail.
Oh. Mother would never do those anything like that. She said that was man's work. And I enjoyed it. So I would tear the iron apart, put the new cord on it, things like that. It all came in handy later on.
I'd like to go back a minute and ask you what kinds of social things that you and your husband did.
Well, there again, he worked late nights. We had a few friends we used to play cards with. He danced some. He liked to dance. He didn't have a lot of social life. You've got four little kids to drag around. You don't do a lot. But like I say, we did dance some, and we did. We had three or four couples that we played cards with.
You talked about your friend that you went to pick apples with.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what kind of time did he spend with her?
Well, they were one of the couples that we played cards with, and we didn't have money to run around shopping and things like that. We spent a lot of time together, but I mean, it was just like any two girls, any two young women, have a cup of coffee. I had learned to drink coffee by that time. It was strange. Up until after I was married, I never drank tea or coffee. I got a lot of bad habits after I got married. No, we were just good friends. I mean, she was one of the people that I did keep as a friend, but she passed away quite a few years ago. She had a brain tumor.
Was she somebody that you would confide in or talk about your troubles to?
Yes. She was about the only one I had that I could confide in. Because my folks had moved back out here. My grandfather had died, and my father and mother came back out to help my grandmother through a rough situation. Grandpa had left Grandma quite a bit of not property, but Grandpa had invested a lot of money in second mortgages and things like that. He was he managed the business. Grandma knew nothing about it. So she asked Dad to come out and help her. And they had packed up and come back out here. And that had upset me quite a bit because California was my home and I wanted to come back out here. And I always said I would come back to California one of these days. Didn't matter how bad it got, I was coming home to California. And I did. Waited a long time, but I got it. That's where I went when I left my husband. he absolutely would not believe that I would go take a train and the kids and leave. And he even took me to the down to the depot thinking I was going, I'd back out at the last minute, but I had the luggage was packed, and I went down, I had money saved, I bought tickets, and I got on that train and left. And I never went back to Michigan. I went back in 46, 47 to get my divorce. But I had no intentions of going back ever. I told him if, as long as he drank, I would not stay there. And he never stopped. And I never went back.
Did he try and persuade you to come back?
Oh, yes, he came out here two or three times trying to get me to go back. There was nothing back there for me. My folks were out here. I had two brothers that still lived there, but I had nothing. I just felt as if I had nothing back there. And I came out here and I went to work. And I bought a small house, and I put my kids through school, and I worked, and I was happy, and I didn't need him. He couldn't convince me to go back there. I hate cold weather. I hated the cold weather. I hated it so. I still do. Thank you.